Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1? We're going to read one brief verse this morning as we move into a message for our entire church body. And I remind you that though we are addressing our men this morning, our not just fathers, but all of our men to be godly leaders. I lift also those who are not dads yet and the young men who are preparing to be the spiritual leaders of their home, and you ladies who are supporting and helping and guiding and supporting them. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. We've used this verse a number of times over the last few weeks. God's Word says that God created all things. Amen. Do you believe that? Did you know that so much of our world, and even in the Christian church, many people do not have what we call a biblical worldview? They don't believe that God was involved in the creation. I'm going to tell you, if you believe God's Word is true, how can you miss the fact that God is the one who breathed everything into existence? God, our Lord, created. And when He finished everything, He saved the last. And the last thing that He created was mankind. And the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." How can we miss such incredibly basic truth in God's Word? Don't miss it. God created man, how? In what? In His own image. That means after God, in some ways, in many ways, like God. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. God knew what He was doing. God still knows what He's doing. Let me ask you, have you ever known God's design to be haphazard? Was it just by accident? You know, people, the science is still discovering that God's creation was so put together that it answers so many needs and questions and brings together such a perfect design, and mankind never could have thought of it. God pulls it together, and He creates it that way for a reason. Male and female created He them, creating man in God's own image. Father, we are thankful that Your Word gives us Your truth. Help us to hold to it, Father. Sometimes we may not understand it all, but Lord, we still know that when You give us Your Word, we can depend on it. And we ask God for Your grace, Your strength, and Your truth to be ever in our hearts, on our minds, and in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? God's design is never haphazard. There's always a purpose. And it's not that God had to start somewhere. He had a design. It wasn't that God said, well, this is what I'm going to do, and oh, now I need to do this. Oh, maybe I ought to do this. God had a design from the beginning. And He had a design from the very beginning for mankind, for man and for woman. And throughout His Word, God reveals His design for us, men. You can find God's design for you in His Word. Ladies, you can find God's design for you in His Word. A design for mankind, for the family, for husbands, for wives, for children, for His church. God had a plan, and He's still working that plan. Now, when there is a failure in that design, not because of the design of God, but when part of His creation fails to do what God calls on them to do, that's when there's a problem. That's when we have trouble. When there is a problem, the whole system suffers, even when there's just one part of it that's not working as it should. Like a single mechanism inside of a Swiss watch, all you have to have is one cog, all you have to have is one wheel that's not working, that's messed up, that's not doing its job. And I'm going to tell you, everything else will suffer. Everything else. Men, you are not just a tiny cog in God's design. You were designed after God Himself, and you are one of God's major components. And if you are not powered by God's mainspring, if you are not depending on the Lord, if you're not working in God's design, then the family has much less of a chance to be on God's time. Does that make sense? You are a part of God's master plan. What is it that God called you to be and to do as a spiritual leader? We talked last week and we've talked in the last few weeks about men and about families and that men are to be the spiritual leaders in the home. What is it that you're supposed to do? I'm going to talk about just a couple of things real quickly this morning. First of all, as the spiritual leaders, men, young men, us old men, God tells us that we are to be a spiritual leaders. And the first thing that we need to do as a spiritual leader is we need to see to our own spiritual growth. Without that, how can you be a leader? Flat out, how can you lead anyone where you won't go yourself? If you are not a spiritually guided individual from God's word, how can you lead somebody else there? Jesus says that the greatest commandment, we've talked about this many times recently. What did Jesus say was the greatest command? We find it in Matthew 22. He said what? To love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the greatest command of God. We realize that. Men, you are supposed to be pursuing a deeper relationship with God the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you seeking a love relationship with Jesus? That is your first call. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind. Are you into God's word? Are you listening to God's word? Are you centering your life and are you centering your family on the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does your family know that you make sure that you have time in God's word every day? Does your family know that you have that desire? Does your family know that you seek God in His word, that you seek God in prayer? Have they seen Daddy? Have they seen the husband? Have they seen the man of the house actually seeking the heart of God? Do they see your relationship with God as being important to you? Here's a tough one. Let me just ask you this one straight out. This one can be really difficult, guys. Does your family see you actively putting sin to death in your life? Do they see you striving for the perfection of God? We know we don't attain the perfection of God, but just because we can't attain it doesn't mean that we quit trying. Amen? Folks, we know that we have a sinful heart. We know that we do wrong. But God said He wants our desire to be that we would be all for Him. That includes confessing our sin and asking for forgiveness from our family members. Now, I'm going to tell you, how many of you had a perfect dad? I'm going to tell you, they could be the most wonderful dad in all the world, but does anybody have a perfect one? The only father who is perfect is the Heavenly Father. Amen? And there are times that we mess up. Men, let me ask you, do you go to your family and say, you know, guys, you know, family, you know, daughters, you know, sons, you know, wife, sometimes I mess up. And I think that I need to tell you that this one was one of those times. I didn't do this well. Y'all forgive me. Pray with me. I'm going to do better. There are times we all mess up. And until our own spiritual growth is a priority, it doesn't make much sense that we're going to be able to lead others very well. Guys, we need to seek our own spiritual growth. Secondly, we're to see to our wife's heart. Men, that's what we are called to do. What is the first and greatest commandment? Let's say it again. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And another scripture adds strength a little later. So the first commandment is to love God. What's the second commandment? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, he said that the second greatest command is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that it's not just that we say, well, I got a little love for them, but I'm going to tell you, we love ourselves pretty good. God's word says that we're to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. And men, listen to me. There is no closer neighbor than the one you share your bed with. Your wife is the closest neighbor that you've got. And God's word says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that certainly, and above all, includes the helpmeet that he's given us. Men, let me ask you, are you pursuing your wife? I don't mean are you chasing her around the table. I hope you're still getting to do that, though. But are you pursuing her heart? Guys, are you pursuing her heart that she knows that you love her? That you care what's going on in her life? Guys, do you know what's going on in the life of your wife? Do you know what she's struggling with? Do you know her cares? Do you know her concerns? Do you know her victories? Have you asked lately what's going on in her heart, in her life? What is battling for territory in her heart? What's her struggle today? Are you praying with her? Are you praying for her? Are you leading her to God's word to encourage her? Guys, we're supposed to be doing that. Are you initiating prayer? And are you praying with her regularly? We know what Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, don't we, guys? Come on, you've heard it right from this pulpit many times. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife. And did it stop there? Nope. It said, love your wife how much? As much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands should love their own wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. We know what Christ did for the church, don't we? He wasn't just willing to live for the church, which he did. He lived a perfect life, but he was also willing to lay down his life for her. We are to see to our wife's heart. And in order to do that, we have to see to our own hearts. The third thing, you need to see to your kids' hearts. Maybe even your grandkids' hearts. You know, that's why God leaves us here. He leaves us here for a little extra wisdom for our children and our children's children. And to spoil them a little bit, that's okay too, I think. But you know, understand this, that God says that we need to see to the hearts of our children. Once you've addressed those first two very important commands, to love the Lord with all your heart, and then secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself, and your wife certainly, because she's the closest neighbor you've got. Once you get there, we are commanded by God to lay a foundation for our children. And whether you have children now, or whether you've got grandchildren, or whether you hope one day to have children, or whether you don't have children and you are a part of a neighborhood and a church, then there are children who will be looking to you. You need to be the kind of instructor and the kind of example that God can be pleased with for our kids. We are commanded by God to lay a foundation for our children. We're called not to exasperate them, but to bring them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Let me just read that passage from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, after it says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. In other words, don't be so difficult that you frustrate them with your discipline. and disciplined well enough that they're not frustrated that you don't discipline at all, so that they know what they need and that what you expect from them. But it says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, bringing them up requires more than one little pull. Amen? Bringing them up, raising them up in the love and admonition of the Lord. We are commanded by God to lay a foundation for our children. Men, are you praying with them regularly? Are you asked then how they are doing on their spiritual walk? Maybe they're already grown, but you are still father. Maybe they're grandchildren. You can ask them the same. Are you having the hard conversations with them about the sin in their lives and teaching them how to handle it? Are you talking to them about the temptations that come their way? Men, they look to you. They need the instruction from you. Are you making sure that you have family time together? It doesn't all have to be around the Bible, but some of it does. Amen? We need to have time together around the table for meals. Does anybody sit around the family table anymore? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We need to be doing that. Time around the table. Turn the television off. Turn the phone off. Folks, we need to be spending time together. We need to be having those family times together. And that includes times of prayer. That includes times in the Word of God. And that also means having time together where you're attending worship together. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I'm thankful that you may be watching on television this morning, because you see, you are to be leading your family in times of worship. Daddy, I want to talk to you about a couple of people that may be in your life. I want to talk to you about your daughter this morning. Are you spending formative time with your girls, with your daughter? Dad, did you know that you are the model for what she is going to look for in a husband? You are to be a godly daddy. The example that you set will show her what to look for or not to look for in a man of her own one day. You model how she will expect to be treated by her husband. Amen? She says, well, if that's what I can expect out of a marriage, I don't think I want any of that. Or maybe she's saying, I can't wait to have that kind of love and dedication and care from my own husband. You are her instructor, Daddy, for how to look to God and how to be obedient to God. You are her instructor. Mama, you too. But Dad, first and foremost, God calls you to be there to do that. And you can't do that if you're not there. Let's face it, Daddy. You are her real live Cinderella story. Hello? Dad, you are her handsome prince. Now you're going to, wait a minute. No. You are the first prince in her life. After all, who does she want to impress? Who does she want to love on her? Who does she want to get the attention of? The first man in her life is Daddy. Men, we are to be the first prince, if you will, for our little Cinderellas. You know what? Every girl in the kingdom wants to be noticed. Now, you may think, no, that's not. Yes, they do. Every girl in the kingdom wants to be noticed. You remember the Cinderella story? Remember? You remember the prince was going to get married and everybody was invited to the ball and all the girls got the new dresses and they all, listen, I know it's a fairy tale, but it is a true life play. Every girl wants to be noticed by the prince, and every girl wants the prince to ask her to dance with him, and every girl wants to go and live happily ever after. If you don't know that, something's wrong with your brain. But guys, we are the first prince. Your time with your daughter will instill in her that she is beautiful. Your time and attention for her will instill in her that she is important. The way you treat her mother and the way you treat her will show her that she is worth respecting and protecting and guarding and honoring. Daddy, I'm going to say it one more time. You are the first prince in her life, and the way that you love her and the way that you relate to her will set the foundation for how she relates to every other man on the planet. And if you don't think that you are that person, you're wrong. You are. And the way that you show her to relate to other men will make all the difference in her life. Does she know she's worth respecting? Or will she learn through the way she's ignored that she has to buy a man's attention? It ought to be silent in here. Because guys, if we don't teach them that they are so special to God and so worthy of proper attention, they'll learn to get it any way they can. Let's talk about sons. Dads, you are not just to see the development of your daughters, but you're to see the development of your sons. And fathers, the difference your presence makes in a young man's life and the prayers in a man, young man's life can never be overestimated. I can't tell you how important they are in a young man's life. Because boys, listen dads, boys, listen granddads, boys learn who they are and they learn what they are from a man. They learn it from the company of men. And they just can't learn it any other place. They're not going to learn it in preschool. They're not going to learn it on TV. They're not going to learn it from the war games they play. They are going to learn it from their father and from the men in their life. It can't even be learned from other boys, not even brothers, not where they need to. And as wonderful and as important and as dedicated as mothers are, a boy will never learn who he is before God except from a godly father. That's why so many boys are in trouble today. Many of them don't have a dad at home, and many of them have a dad at home, but he's not home when he's at home. Guys, you pardon me for jumping on you this morning, but I'm going to tell you that a boy cannot learn to be a man from the world of women. Listen, ladies, you are special. You are incredible. And boys form a bond with you that they don't with their daddies very early. And I'm going to tell you, dad can take them from the time they're big enough to hold a football or a baseball, and they can teach them how to hit and teach them how to run and teach them how to throw. And man, when they get in college and they score their first touchdown on TV, they don't look at the camera and go, "Dad taught me." What do? They look at the camera and they go, "Hi, Mom," every time. You are special, Mama. You are special, but you got to turn him over to Dad to be a little more dangerous than standing around in the kitchen in their Barney underwear. We laugh, but is it not true? Ladies, I'm going to tell you, there was a time with three boys that my wife insinuated, "Well, I don't think I'll ever let them be playing football." And I'm going, "Wait and see." Amen. Men, you've got to be the one to show them what it means to be just maybe just a little bit wild. And I don't mean crazy, but I mean, come on. You know, I don't know how to explain it except that, you know, you're trying to take your son to go fishing and your wife says, be careful with him. Don't let the boat rock too much. Don't let him stand up in that boat. And by all means, you watch him and don't let him fall overboard. And I go, he ain't going to fall overboard. I'm throwing him in. He didn't fall over, did he? No. Boy needs to learn to swim. Guys, you add that element of masculinity and of danger, if you will, that God puts into every boy when he's born. And if you don't cultivate it, mamas don't. If you don't cultivate it, the world doesn't. If you don't cultivate it, nobody's going to. That's why so many young men don't grow into the men they need to be. And I don't mean just all of the stuff, but I'm talking about all the things that God teaches you to teach them about what it really means to be a godly man. Oh, and I'd love to go on that, but I'm going to move forward. But I'm just going to tell you that masculinity is a very difficult essence to articulate. But I'm going to tell you that masculinity is an ingredient that every boy needs. Every boy needs. And that he naturally craves, just like he does food and drink. He craves it from you to show you. And as much as he needs it, it cannot be passed to him from the world of women. It's got to be given by the men. Guys, I know that you've got to, most of the time, since COVID, it's changed a little. But I know most of the time, men, you have to leave the house to earn a living. I realize that. And sometimes it's long days. Men, look at me. I am not trying to guilt you for taking a job that makes you leave the home for most of the day and most of the week. That's just a fact of life. Even in God's day, when Jesus' day and during the time of the New Testament, they still had to go to the fields. But I am going to tell you that when you are home, be home. When you are home, spend some time with your family. I know that work takes you away, but let me ask you, do you include your sons and your daughters in the things that you do? We talked about this last week. Do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7? Do you remember we talked about the commands of you shall? Let me just read it to you again. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, and these words which I command you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, when are you supposed to be teaching these things about God and life? All day. Your favorite golf partner might not be your 12-year-old son. But I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that will make him feel more important than letting him be a part of your foursome. There is nothing that will make a boy feel more a part of the man scene than you taking him with you when you go somewhere, whether it's to buy parts for the car or it's to drop the car off the mechanic like I had to do. I didn't know how to fix it. But I know this, when you include your son in your life, you're rubbing off some masculinity that gets in there no other way. You cannot send it. You cannot order it. You have to give it. And it comes from you, Dad. It comes from you, granddads. It comes from you, men. When you're teaching the things of life, the masculinity and the godliness that God gives you just rubs off on our kids. The plan from the beginning, from the very beginning, and God created them. God created him, male and female created he them. The plan from the beginning was that a boy's father would lay the foundation of his heart. The plan from the beginning was that a father would lay the foundation for his daughter's heart. It would be the father that passes on that essential knowledge to the young man, to his daughter, that gives confidence and strength. In Genesis chapter 49, we're not going to go back and read that because it's a long passage, but in Genesis chapter 49, the dying patriarch Jacob is lying on the bed, and he calls his 12 sons to him, and he starts going through each one, and he starts saying, well, you know, here's your trait, and here's your trait, and here's what's going to happen with you. And he begins to go through, and he's giving a final blessing to his 12 sons. If you have not done this, Dad, you need to. Daddies, listen to me. Grandfathers, listen to me. If you have not done this for your sons especially, do it. Don't forget to do it. Bless your sons. Bless your daughters. Express to them your appreciation of who they are and your confidence in them as you teach them about the Word of God. Do it in your prayers. And by all means, guys, listen to me. If you've missed anything else, listen to this. Do it with your words.
Well, I show him I love him every day. I put a roof over his head, don't I?
Put a meal in front of him. Listen, do it with your words. Son, I'm proud of you. Well, you talk about making the boy walk like a rooster instead of a hen. I'm proud of you. I love how you. I look forward to when you. Guys, you need to give your blessing to your children. Way too many children, way too many sons and daughters are waiting to have their father say to them, I love you with all of my heart. Boys need to hear from their dads. Boy, you've got the stuff. You've got what it takes. You can do this. I cannot tell you how many men in my life as a pastor have come to me and said, you know, all my dad could do was criticize me. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that and you're good for nothing. I can't think of anything that hurts more. Way too many sons are still waiting for their fathers to say, I love you. You've got what it takes. Now go use it for God. Man, the best cheerleader in a child's life needs to be the daddy. And the mama. You've got what it takes. Go use it for God. Use it for your family. And by all means, boy, use it for your boy. By all means, use it for your daughter. It does not matter your age. It does not matter your child's age. If you have not given them your verbal, heartfelt blessing, you failed them. Give them your blessing from the earliest age they can understand and even before to the day that you die. You give them your blessing. You tell them what you are proud of. You encourage better behavior where they need it. There's nothing wrong with that. And God gives some pretty good ideas on how to handle that on the backside. But understand that God did the same thing for his son. Do you remember when Jesus had lived his perfect life up to the point of the beginning of his ministry and he went to be baptized by the preacher John and he baptized him and right there in that river as he rose straight up, straightway out of the water, the scripture says that from the heavens, God, Jesus' father, boomed out and said, this is my son in whom I am. If Jesus needed it, our boys need it. If Jesus needed it, our girls need it. And they are worth it. Dads, bless your children. And you say, it's made too late. No. It may be late, but better late than never. Would you seek God's help? Pray with me. Father, we are so thankful that we have your example for your son. And you show us through the word what godly fathers are. And sometimes, Lord, there are so many times that you show us where fathers have failed. They failed to be there. They failed to stand for you. They failed to love. And yet, God, you recorded that for us so that we would know, Lord, that even in our failures, God, we can be an example by showing them how to be humble and confess and to make things right. God, help us to be able to bless our children. God, help us to be a blessing to our spouses, to our wives. And God, help us to be an obedient child to the good, good Father, the Lord our God.